In this episode, we are going to talk about well-being. Coming out of last year, we're finally getting to a place after COVID-19, after the pandemic, where physical safety, workers' view or outlook on physical safety and how their employers are tackling physical safety, that's actually up. It's actually at pre-pandemic levels. However, well-being is taking a hit. We're going to get into 10 practical tips leaders can use to increase well-being and see some positive results in that area in this episode. Before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at MightyLine Floor Tape. MightyLine has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at MightyLine Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, MightyLine Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, as promised, we are going to get into well-being, and we're going to talk about 10 practical tips, according to Gallup, that leaders can use to increase well-being and kind of drive this outlook for well-being up, much like we have seen in with physical safety, the outlook being up over the last year and a half or so. And that's key because all of the physical modifications and the work from home options and the masking and physical distancing, the marking the facilities, the policies and the rules, that actually created some confidence in terms of physical safety. However, well-being is something completely different. So we're going to get into some of these things that leaders can do, and including safety leaders, by the way, with your teams, and how you can coach operations leaders and business leaders in this area as well. And as Gallup notes here, that as the U.S. and the workplaces start to look past the pandemic, right, and the whatever that normal was during the pandemic, there's an urgent need for organizations to, you know, move forward with that progress in physical safety, shifting to well-being. And that's because after increasing to near 50% during early months of the pandemic, the percentage of employees who strongly agree that their organization cares about their well-being has eroded, losing 13 percentage points since last spring. And that's key. It's not that it's terrible, but let's not let it get bad before we put some strategies in place to improve this. So let's keep that momentum going in the upward direction. So basically, there are 10 important best practices or tips for enhancing employee well-being this year and going into the next few years, according to Gallup. So I wanted to share those with you. The first one, number one, maintain a strong and sustained leadership voice regarding the importance of well-being. We've said it how many times, safety pros, right? It starts at the top. And if top leadership is talking about this and making it a priority in meetings and business communications and all hands communications and meetings, this is going to be important, whether you do town halls, whether you do virtual town halls or all hands meetings, communications that go out, change, and this sounds goofy, but key leaders in an organization, change your email signature, have a little tagline at the bottom with the link and phone number to the EAP program or services that you offer. We'll get into some of that later on because, you know, only 20% or less of employees actually use the services that are offered as part of their benefits program. So maintain a strong and sustained leadership voice regarding the importance of well-being. Swap out well-being and put in safety, put in quality, put in being fiscally responsible, put in, you know, efficiency. It's that simple. Well-being has to be one of the things that we focus on consistently as a leader. And it has to come from the top. So emphasize or put an emphasis on mental health and other aspects of well-being. I think going into the pandemic, people kind of expected you to talk about this, but coming out, like getting into this year and next year, the vaccine's rolling out almost at the time of this recording, almost, what is it, 70-some percent vaccinated, at least 60-some percent had their first vaccine. You know, I think as we kind of roll out of the early stages of the pandemic and the shock and awe that had on us and getting into this, we're starting to see some progress. Well-being, we need to change and flip the conversation a little bit away from, you know, being so COVID related or pandemic related, where just talking about COVID and well-being, overall well-being. And let's get back to just showing some concern for individuals in general, and not just one specific aspect that might be impacting their lives, like the pandemic. All right, so number two, demonstrate a shared and consistent definition of what is meant by well-being. I kind of touched on this on the first tip. It was real easy. It almost wrote itself. The copy was there when we can tie well-being to pandemic. Okay. Folks worried about their job, worried about getting sick, worried about their family. So we extended benefits, extended leave and time off, and all in response to that, to ease that anxiety, right? That, to improve that well-being. Well, we need, going forward, coming out of, the pandemic, and I'm optimistic that we're coming out at this point, but we need to have a shared and consistent definition of what we mean when we say well-being. So Gallup research has shown that well-being interventions are more effective and, greater improvement in well-being is realized when constituents know precisely what the organization means by well-being. They suggest using the five elements of well-being that I talked about in a previous episode as a basis for the foundation for the structure moving forward that you put together, okay? So when you have a well-being initiative, align it with at least one or more of those five elements. Clarify how it can reduce, anxiety and stress going forward. Link it to some actual benefits. So when well-being opportunities are communicated, you can use the five element labels so that employees can easily see how everything is organized to improve their days and overall lives. So Gallup is saying right here is there are those five elements. Now, I'm not going to go through all five of them now. I'm not going to break them down because, it is a previous episode with well-being. Look for that. But I can tell you this, that consistency, remember the second tip, second best practice. A shared and consistent definition of what is meant by well-being. So that drumbeat, you've got to use the same language and you've got to tie it to one or more of those five categories. So keep that in mind. How you communicate and what you mean when you say well-being, make sure that that is shared among the leadership staff, down through the management staff, but also it's consistent in how you discuss and talk about this stuff. And tie, look at the various benefits the company offers and tie them back to any one of those five categories when you talk about them. Number three, keep the line of communication constantly open. Improving and sustaining well-being, it requires that managers stay connected with employees and how their lives are progressing, right? How folks are doing. The single best way to do this is for managers to have conversations with their workers. Just have talks with them. All right. Quick connects or check-ins, stand-ups, things like that are a great opportunity. Make sure you communicate that your door, I know this sounds trite, my door is always open, but make sure you communicate the open door policy. But again, like the previous tip, make sure you define what that means. That means you can text me at any time. You can email me at any time. You can, instant message me if you have a enterprise level system like Slack or Skype or something like that. You can instant message me anytime you want. I may not you know, get to you right away, depending upon the time of day, but I will make sure that I connect with you. Make sure that you explain what open door means. That gives them opportunities, like different opportunities, different ways to reach out. Because this also speaks to diversity and inclusion. Not everybody feels comfortable in a meeting in front of everybody when the manager says, all right, anybody have any issues or they need to get off their chest or want to talk to me about? Anybody? That's not really the best time or best way to try to get feedback about things, right? So make sure you offer various channels that folks can use based on cultural differences, based on how long they've been with the organization or just individual preference, right? Make sure that you have a diverse way folks can get in touch with you. Number four, lead by example. One of the most effective ways to improve well-being is to make sure that you are surrounded by people who are making healthy choices, not just, you know, physically, but engaged in, you know, whether it's mindfulness, which I mean, personally, I couldn't get into mindfulness. I have other things that I need to do for my brain and my psyche, right? My mental health. Mindfulness is not one of them for me, but it could be for many people. So make sure that, you know, we start at the top, make sure that whatever well-being practices that are adopted by senior leaders, that we can actually share those with others. There's this sort of network effect that takes place, if you think about it, that like if we share the fact that like, well, if I'm in a team meeting and I share the fact that, you know, every day at lunch, I try to run, or every afternoon I get off work. I don't do it every day, but, you know, I try to do it. Or somebody does yoga before they go home, you know, stops off, and that's how they decompress before they go home to their family, because they don't want to take the stress of work in the car and then right home. Demonstrate by leading by example how others tend to take care of themselves. Remember, it's well-being touches on so many different things. Physical care is one of them, not the only thing, but it is one of them. So maybe it's, I had a manager tell me this just even recent, like, oh gosh, about a year and a half ago. He said, you know what? When you take lunch, that's your time. Turn off the computer. This is a high-level supervisor, right? Manager, leader in the organization. Turn everything off. He's like, I do. That's your time, you know, and if you're at a facility, go outside, leave the facility if you can. Separate yourself even physically from the work, because that makes it easier for you to separate yourself mentally from it. And, you know, so that told me that this individual has thought about this and practices this and had like something he could share with me. So lead by example, and sometimes that is taking others' examples as well, so that you could think about what might work for you so that you can adopt those same types of habits. Number five, include family members. An effective and proven way to demonstrate that the well-being of employees is cared for is to show care for their family members. So, you know, as we open back up and we have more gatherings taking place out there in the community, we feel that they will be safer for us to partake in those activities, maybe 5K runs or walks or charity events. There are also volunteering events that are taking place again that were suspended. You think about it. I mean, think about all the nonprofits and, you know, Habitat for Humanity, things like that, that had to be put on hold for some time in certain areas because of COVID. Those are coming back online. Think about how fulfilling some of those activities are for some people. If that was their only outlet, was like on the weekends, I volunteer at this place and that place closed down. They couldn't take volunteers in anymore because of, you know, COVID. And that was your outlet. You were left with nothing else to do, and that was a big part of your well-being. So that's key, is include family members. Make sure that you promote well-being for employees as well as their families. Encourage them to get their families involved as well, because when their families are healthy, they're healthy too, and they come to work healthier, okay? So number six, re-promote well-being programs and offerings. This means that, you know, you're going to get some churn. You're going to get some folks promote. They leave the company. They come into the company. You go through a hiring process, especially now when everybody's looking for workers. And maybe they've forgotten what offerings and programs are available. So you have to have this regular cadence where you re-promote. And I don't mean like at the beginning of every year where you go send out the email that says, oh, it's time to re-up on your benefits. If no changes are needed, you'll continue with the old plan you had before, or, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, like every quarter or every 6 months, at least. I wouldn't do it annually. I would do it more frequently than that. Talk about the programs that you offer. I mentioned it earlier. It's only about one quarter of employees, of large employers, participate in well-being programs and offerings. All right. So don't ever assume that workers are aware of what's available to them simply because you hung a poster in the break room, or because HR sent out an email, or they got the packet during their orientation, their new hire orientation. So the period where we bring people back to work and we're hiring again, that's a great time to reintroduce some of these programs and benefits and offerings. If you have folks that are remote, make sure you extend via remote meetings, phone calls, texts, emails. You extend these offerings to them as well. It's important that just because people work at home or work from home, that they're immune to the office pressure and anxiety of having to get work done and having to go to meetings and everything. It's actually the opposite. Well, working from home, workers tend to log more hours because the work is always there. It's never gone. It's never, you can't just go out the door like you can at the office and leave and go, later, I'm going home. See you tomorrow. Don't call me. It's always there. The desk is there calling you. That laptop is there. You've got that notification on your phone. So it's even more so important to extend these communications to work from home folks. So number six, re-promote well-being programs and offerings. Make sure you beat that drum. Number seven, scientifically evaluate the effectiveness of well-being programs. This is where you're going to need a partner, and your well-being program providers should be able to give you some insights as to the average length of engagement, how long folks engage in some of these programs, whether it's exercise or wellness or services outside of work, how many of the employees take advantage of this program over that program. That gives you some insight, some data, so that you can kind of pick and choose where you need to focus some effort and some energy and where folks have some problems. Also, these providers gather, they often gather feedback, and it's all confidential, of course, but ask if they can share key insights that they use to improve their program offerings that the employer might be able to benefit from, you know, that information in communicating to employees the benefits of some of these programs. So keep that in mind, number seven. Number eight, leverage employee engagement to drive employee well-being. So something else Gallup also has demonstrated, that the benefits of employee engagement are amplified by employee well-being, and that employee engagement is a powerful influencer of future well-being. So the more engaged you are with your workforce, the more likely it is they're going to participate in well-being programs and offerings, or their state of well-being will be improved overall. So sometimes it's just one of the ways you can improve well-being is improve employee engagement activities and efforts. So research has also shown that highly engaged employees are far more likely to feel comfortable talking about well-being with their managers and supervisors. That's key, right? So apply employee engagement tactics. That's an effective way to enhance employee well-being. And especially as workers come back to work and you hire new workers in, make sure you start off on the right foot. Make sure that you equip managers to include well-being as part of performance management, right? Your well-being, quote unquote, should be an essential component of any kind of reviews or one-on-ones, even informal, that you have with employees. This does not mean that managers play the role of a financial advisor, personal trainer, or life coach. That's not what this is about. Remember, I said it in a previous episode about well-being. Managers and supervisors don't need to be experts in well-being or psychological safety. They need to be conduits to the services that workers may need. And that's key, okay? Be able to direct employees to those resources. Number 9, develop a network of local well-being coaches and champions who serve as resources to collect and share best practices. Look, you know, you're going to need experts to help you. And sort of goes back to the number 7, scientifically evaluate the effectiveness of well-being programs. So develop a network of local well-being coaches and champions who will serve as resources to collect and share best practices, because these experts are really going to give you some key insights, and not just from their expertise and having been doing this for a living, but the feedback they gather, as I said in tip number 7, you're going to need these experts. You're going to need them, because the end goal is that people have to have access to the best advice when they need it. Sometimes the encouragement that they get comes from their peers, so, and their coworkers. So every organization has some influencers who are gifted at connecting others and encouraging involvement. And so leverage the influencers in your organization that seem to be taking advantage of a lot of this stuff. Try to get some feedback from them as well as to like what makes them tick. What makes that a great service? What do you get out of it? Is there anything you could share with others? And if they're comfortable sharing with others, have them stand up at shift start meeting or something like that and talk about those things. So they got to be comfortable about it. But look, we've got well-being coaches and champions and experts, but then you've got some peer influencers as well. So don't discount them. And 10. Aim strengths at well-being. And here's what Gallup is getting at with this one. Changing well-being, it requires changing habits. And that can be really hard. So comfortable conversations about well-being can only happen when a foundation of trust exists, and well-being conversations without that personal connection can be pretty dangerous. So you first have to establish rapport and trust with whoever you're going to talk to. So that's a strength that you need to leverage, right? Starting well-being conversations with an employee's strengths works best because it focuses on the positive contributions of each person. It avoids any awkward criticism and identifies what makes each person unique, if you think about it that way. So remember, starting well-being conversations with employees' strengths, okay? Each person can identify well-being activities via their innate tendencies rather than trying to improve their well-being by fundamentally changing who they are. So we're not asking them to change who they are. So managers and well-being coaches can be equipped to have these high-impact, strength-based well-being conversations with some basic structure and some basic coaching. So reach out to those professionals and those folks that provide these programs, support programs, that say, hey, do you offer any coaching for managers and supervisors to be able to have conversations with employees that kind of go down this path? So strengths, it's a proven accelerator of employee well-being and engagement. So a strength-based approach to enhancing well-being is likely to yield additional benefits in performance as well. Those are the 10 tips, and that last one is key. You know, having a conversation based on an employee's strengths and not their weakness or what's missing and what you would like for them to fix, that's old, tried, and true stuff. It's also one of the most difficult things for managers and supervisors to do, right? They shy away from coaching. They steer way clear of that altogether, and coaching is one of the best management practices out there, okay? So I'm going to tell you right now that there are some misconceptions about coaching. And then this might explain why it's so difficult. They think coaching is like therapy, or they think it's time consuming, or they think coaching is the same as like independent executive coaching, or, you know, like career development coaching or life coaching type of thing. Look, this is not the case, all right? You know, there is time for coaching can take place in a 10-minute conversation. You don't need to focus on, like I said, the weaknesses and what's missing, but you can focus on p- performance strengths and what somebody tends to be really good at, and you can refocus their attention. And the leader's role is, you know, to be a coach. One, if you're a leader in an organization, you have to be a coach for managers, right? And, you know, that's how they pay it forward. You have to change the manager's job expectations, and then you have to actually provide them the development they need to meet those expectations. You need to build coaching into their job expectations somehow, and then support them, of course, in that. But that will help with that 10th tip, all right? So there you go, Gallup's top 10 tips to improve well-being. I'll have a link to the article as well in the show notes. But what do you think? What are your tips for improving well-being? What have you seen work over the last couple of years here now, almost 2 years now? Share that with the rest of the community. We would love to hear your feedback. This video and recording is also being uploaded to the Safety Pro Podcast community. So you'll be able to see those. If you're a premium member, you'll be able to see the video and, of course, take part in the conversation. For everybody else out there in podcast land, reach out. The link is in the show notes, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.